TV.
Yes, I did check it out. Ambassador in a Chain indeed belongs in the public domain, so enough time has passed since Paul copyrighted. Actually, the Holy Spirit copyrighted it. So, Embassy in a Chain, amazing. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, the last verse of Ephesians chapter 6. Our foremost ambassador for peace is the Apostle Paul, and he finds himself in a chain in Rome. This is Martin Zender, and welcome to MCTV. And we are also conducting an embassy in a chain. You wonder how that could possibly be. Well, if you knew all the limitations that are on you this very minute, keeping you from doing what you want to do, keeping you grounded on the earth, keeping you humble, keeping really the spirit from doing everything it wants to do, right? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the transcendence of the power may be of God and not of us. You may have heard me tell the story of my ex-brother-in-law years and years ago. It was Thanksgiving, and we were at my wife's grandfather's grandmother's house for Thanksgiving, and they had a dog outside, and yeah, it was not very well taken care of. It was pretty sad to see this dog. It was in this crappy doghouse on a short chain, and I remember my brother-in-law, you may have heard me tell this story before, my brother-in-law at the time, Matt, he was probably 12 years old. He said, I feel so bad for that dog on that short chain, and I said, I do too, but you can't believe how short your chain is. Like, that was a profound statement. I wasn't that old myself, but I was much older than him. But I already knew then of the limitations with my limited understanding of Scripture. Prior to 1986, I still understood that we were so unable to do everything we wanted to do. And I'm not sure I understood at the time that that limit was of God. God put the limiters on us. So we are also operating an embassy in a chain. So let's start with verse 18, where I started yesterday, then we'll go on. During every prayer and petition, be praying on every occasion in spirit, being vigilant also for it with all perseverance. Perseverance comes in here. And petition concerning all the saints. And we do need to pray for all the saints, because we are all conducting an embassy in a chain. We are all on a short leash. We are all suffering, and we are all being kept under our potential on purpose, so that we don't glory in this world, glory in this life. Sometimes we envy people with all this talent, and they seem to be the world's luminaries seem to be so laden with gifts, and they make a lot of money, and they're famous, and a lot of us, we tend to envy people like that, whereas we look at our lives and we think, what's wrong with me? I thought that being a son or daughter of God came with greater, shall we say, perks, greater outward manifestations. But no. That's not how it works right now. It is an embassy in a chain. Remember how great an ambassador was? I read that so many times. Being a really noble person in the sight of God, but very ignoble here on earth, is because our time has not yet come, just like our Lord said, my time has not yet come. And he said to Pilate, who told him that he had such power over him, Jesus said to Pilate, love this, you know, you would have no power over me unless it were given you from above. And Pilate was really impressed by that, because nobody would ever have talked to him that way. And we would have, if you want to look at it another way, we would have all kinds of power if it weren't kept from us from above, if it weren't purposely withheld from us at this time, because the first will become last, and the last will be first. That's the order of things. So right now, we're in last place. We're the dregs, the bottom of the cup. But alas, ladies and gentlemen, yes, Zender with a Z. My books are anywhere my books are located there in the last place, the Z, Z. I'm the Omega, not the Alpha. But soon I shall be the Alpha with all of you. Because the last shall become first. The Omega shall become the Alpha. And those who are the Alphas today will become last. And even now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the chiefs of this eon are being discarded. Even now as we speak, there's another proleptic statement that should encourage you. Not that we should wish bad on anyone. We don't wish bad on anyone. We pray for all humanity, Paul says in another place. But sometimes it hurts to see other people doing so well who you know are not close to God. They don't like God. They hate God. They're atheists or whatever. And you tend to have a bit of envy in you. But don't know it. Don't envy them. They're going to soon envy the heck out of you. Very soon, because we are the luminaries of the next world. We are the future magistrates of the universe. So during every prayer and petition, be praying on every occasion in spirit, being vigilant also for it with all perseverance and petition. We know prayer doesn't change things. I'm going to be getting to that. With all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints and for me. So all the saints, praying for all the saints. Prayer doesn't change things. It doesn't change God's mind. Prayer doesn't cause God to stop in his tracks and think, oh, well, thanks for pointing that out to me. I didn't realize that was going on. Why didn't you tell me things were that bad? Why didn't you tell me you needed a new car? Let me look at this. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yes, that car's not very good. Okay. Thanks for pointing that out to me. I thought you had a nice car. When did you get this one? Oh, 5 years ago. Oh, okay. No, we don't inform God. We do not inform God of anything he doesn't know. The audacity. So what is petition? What is petition? It's participation in the program. That's what it is. It's, as I like to say, touching God's steering wheel when you're a kid. When I was a kid, my dad let me touch the steering wheel. I'd be sitting in the passenger seat, little guy. I couldn't even see out the windshield. And my dad would say, you want to steer the car? Oh, yeah. And I'd put my hand on the steering wheel and that man had me convinced I was driving the car. What a good man, my dad. God has some people convinced that they're running the show. God has some people convinced that their prayers change him. Oh, so juvenile. They can't even see over the windshields, and they think that their prayers change God's mind. They think their prayers are informing God of something he doesn't know about. Unbelievable. No, the petition relieves us. The petition makes other people feel good that we're petitioning God. God wants to be petitioned, which may seem odd. He just likes to hear it. He pays attention to it. And it's knowing that he's on it. Same with Philippians 4:6. You know, in all things, let your prayers be made. Let your prayers, your desires, your petitions be made known to God. Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, or as Concordance says, superior to every frame of mind, will be garrisoning your hearts. So it's the peace. Prayer produces peace. Peace that it's now in God's hands. Peace that is out of your control. You can't do anything about it. If you thought prayer changed God, then I don't know. You would, I guess, try to perfect prayer. I wrote a book on prayer. I encourage you to get it if you don't understand prayer. I'm going to do a whole show on it. It's been a while since I've really taught on prayer. It's called Martin Center's Guide to Intelligent Prayer. You can get a head start on the show that I will do on that topic by ordering that book today at martincenter.com. So, Paul has a specific petition. This is interesting, too. His petition is this. He says, petition concerning all the saints and for me, that to me expression may be granted in the opening of my mouth with boldness to make known the secret of the evangel, for which I am conducting an embassy in a chain, that in it I should be speaking boldly as I must speak. And there he is at the end, giving up the secret. As I must speak. God told him that he would be testifying before the kings, Paul would, and he did, King Agrippa. And so God already told him he would do all these things. So Paul is basically telling the Ephesians to pray something that God already told him he would be doing, which is speaking boldly. And then he says, as I must speak. Why must you speak? Because God told me on day one that I would be testifying before kings, that I would be basically heralding all over the place to the Jews, to the kings, to the nations. I would be a heralding machine, and that I would speak boldly. So Paul is very wisely then having the Ephesians and all the other churches touch the steering wheel. There's a great verse in John. If we are praying in accord with his will, we are having what we are asking for. I'm paraphrasing. If we pray according to his will, we are receiving what we are asking for. Duh. That's such a great verse, and it's the answer to prayer. If we are praying according to his will. So it would be smart to pray according to God's will. One of the anecdotes I use in my book is the guy with the bumpers, with the political bumper stickers on his car. And every single candidate he had on his car won. It was amazing. Every bumper sticker, every political bumper sticker he put on his car, that candidate won. Somebody asked the guy, what's your secret? He says, I put the bumper stickers on after the election. Wow, that's a great plan. It's a great idea. So after you find out what God's going to do, Paul said, pray for me that I may be speaking boldly as I must. Like God already told me I'm going to do this, but I thought it would be kind of cool to ask you to pray for something that God's already going to do. Why would Paul ask somebody specifically to pray for something, you know, that he knew wasn't going to happen? But he's smart. I guess you could do that. No, you wouldn't do that, because if you knew something wasn't going to happen, you wouldn't ask. But how would you know something wasn't going to happen? Unless God told you, unless you're in the days of prophecy, let's say. Christians are praying that tribulation not take place. Or, Lord, deliver the world from the tribulation or something. It's like, what? No, it has to happen. Why would you ask people to pray for something that's inevitable? Rather, have them pray that, Lord, bring the tribulation on quickly so that we can get on with Eon 4 proper. We can get on with the knowledge of God covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. Yeah, ask people, tell people to pray for things that God already said is going to happen. Pray for the salvation of the world. Paul says that in 1 Timothy. Now pray for the salvation of the world. Pray that God's will be done. Because these things are going to happen. Pray that the saints be glorified. Pray that you'd be given immortality. Because these things will happen. So it's so satisfying to put the bumper stickers on after the election. Or people who wear the jerseys of the winning Super Bowl quarterback. You see, you make your requests known to God. Philippians 4:6. Make your requests. I think I misquoted it a few minutes ago. Make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God will be garrisoning your heart. So you don't get what you want necessarily. If you pray in accord with God's will, you get what you want. But you do get peace. How? Why? Because you've handed it over to a capable deity who's on it and will not give you something stupid. People pray to win the lottery when the lottery would ruin their life. God's smarter than them. Doesn't cause them to win the lottery. People have told me, Martin, I pray that God help me win the lottery, because if I win the lottery, I told God I'd give half the winnings to you. And I tell these people have told me that several times. I said, I'm sorry, but you just doomed your chances of winning the lottery when you promised God you'd give half of it to me, because God doesn't want any of us wealthy. God doesn't want any of us rolling in it. God doesn't want any of us on easy street looking down a yellow brick road toward Oz. Well, yeah, he does want us looking down the yellow brick road toward Oz, actually. But he doesn't want us hopping and skipping through the poppy field. Yes, yeah, very tempting to want to go through the poppy field, but we're not going to go through the poppy field. We will get to Oz, and it is at yellow brick road, but sometimes it's mostly cloudy and you can't see the road. So pray for me that I will do exactly what God told me I was going to do. Smart prayer. Which is make known the secret of the evangel. The secret of the evangel is the conciliation of the world, that God is at peace. That's the secret. That's the thing nobody knows. The secret of the evangel is a conciliation, where we've been teaching 2 Corinthians 5, that God is at peace with the world through the cross of Christ, and it's still secret to 99.999999% of the world. And I should have added a couple more nines there. I apologize. For which I am conducting an embassy in a chain. There it is. And yes, he was in a literal chain. Our chains are figurative. I hope none of us are in literal chains. His chains were literal and figurative, poor guy. But my gosh, what an obvious indication. And this was why Paul told Timothy not to be ashamed of him, because he was a prisoner, he was in chains. And Timothy had to tell his friends and his parents that he was following a guy who was in jail. He was following a convict. Not that Paul was guilty of anything. He wasn't. He was falsely accused by the Jews, and actually the Romans arrested him and saved him from those bloodthirsty lunatics called, sometimes known as Israel types. And so, no, Paul never broke the law. Never. He was falsely accused, just like his Lord. They hated me gratuitously, said his Lord. And Paul could say the same thing. They hated him gratuitously. Gratuitously, that is, without a cause. For which I am conducting an embassy in a chain, that in it I should be speaking boldly as I must speak. Now that you also may be acquainted with my affairs. See, Paul wants people acquainted with his affairs. I acquaint you with my affairs. I think most of you like it when I tell you personal things, things that are going on with my life, whether they have to do with the evangel or not. But really, everything in my life has to do with the evangel. Even though it may seem to be adjacent, evangel adjacent, I mean, it's all has to do with the evangel, because my life is all about heralding the evangel. It's all about it. So there's nothing in my life, nothing that touches my life that does not have to do with the evangel. So Paul was really, I was going to say desperate, but he wanted people to be acquainted with his affairs and what is engaging him. All will be made known to you by Tychicus. Paul had a great friend named Tychicus. And Tychicus was going to make known to the Ephesians Paul's affairs, what was engaging him. Because he wanted people to know. Because he wanted people to pray for him. And I tell you about my situation because I want you to pray for me. And you do. And you pour out the love for me in your comments. And so thank you for that. I have many friends, none of which are named Tychicus. But there you go, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord. We're going to meet Tychicus someday. And we're going to meet his mother, possibly. I believe his mother was in the body of Christ. And I'm going to ask his mother why she named her son Tychicus. And she'll probably say that was his father. I said, well, where is he? And she will say, well, we're not going to see him to the great white throne. I mean, obviously he named his son Tychicus, so at which point we will understand completely. Whom I send to you for this same thing, that you may know our concerns. This is personal. You know, I got a show. I was almost going to do a whole different show today. I was going to do a show called The Persistent Religious Fear of the Personal Pronoun. Just because of a couple comments yesterday. A couple comments yesterday when I was talking about becoming a parent. And it was pointed out that concerning Timothy, his progress would become apparent, not him. As if his progress in the evangel could be separated from him. And this, to me, was an indicator that there's still this persistent religious fear of the personal pronoun. People are still worried about using the pronoun I, about talking about themselves. They're afraid of becoming, I don't know, prideful or arrogant. And again, as I say over and over again, people project that on me who are afraid of it themselves because of their own insecurities. But anyway, I am going to do a show called The Persistent Religious Fear of the Personal Pronoun. Our Apostle Paul didn't have this problem at all. I don't have this problem at all. In fact, I'm probably one of the most advanced people in the evangel on the planet who is free of this. I really believe that, because I'm criticized for it, and people don't realize where I'm coming from. I'm coming from Galatians. I live, yet no longer I, living in me is Christ. It's a beautiful passage. I'll get into that too. I'll do a whole show on that. I did a little mini audio series, and it's called The New I, and it's all about this this persistent religious fear of the personal pronoun. And I saw it yesterday in the comments, just a little bit of it. I saw when I talked about becoming a parent, and it was pointed out to me, no, Timothy wasn't becoming a parent. His progress was, and Paul did say his progress. But can you separate the man from his progress? No, you cannot. Let's go on here and finish Ephesians chapter 6. Now that we know Paul is conducting an embassy in a chain, and that embassy includes the announcement of the secret of the evangel, which is a secret no longer because it was revealed by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it is that God has conciliated to the world through Christ. So he's sending Tychicus, the beloved brother, faithful servant, whom I send to you for this same thing, that you may know of our concerns, and he should be consoling your hearts. See, I want you to be consoled about me, and I want to be consoled about you. So when we tell each other bad news, we need to tell each other some good news too. So I'll be telling you some good news. I tell you bad news, I'll be telling you some good news too. You know, we like good news better than bad news, but there's the contrast principle. And how many times have you said to God, okay, I'll speak for myself. I got it. I understand the contrast principle. I got it. I can be snatched away now. And the rest of us, I think we have it locked in. Yeah. You've made your point, Lord. Peace be to the brethren, verse 23, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who are loving our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruption. And Paul ends the way I will end for today. Amen.